I want to ask you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And I'm going to condense this as much as I can, in a sense, but yet hopefully have the same effect as if I was to preach a full sermon on these things, topics. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And the topic I'm going to be talking about tonight is lawlessness and apostasy. Lawlessness and apostasy. Okay? So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5 says, and the author of this book is, and this is why I'm just kind of used to doing this and trying to be in a good habit as I'm teaching those who I'm teaching. Who's the author and to whom the author is talking to? Okay? So forgive me if I say that. That's just in my mind, you know. So the author is obviously the Apostle Paul, and he's training his young son in the faith, Timothy. So that's who this is addressing to, Timothy, who's supposed to take over the Ephesian church, right? So the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to give forth the word of God tonight. Even in my affliction tonight, Lord, I'm going to give you all honor and glory to give forth your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you give me strength to give forth the truth of your word. And as I give forth what you have laid on my heart for the assembly tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And by way of introduction, just kind of give you a little background before I get into the immediate text. Paul wrote this second epistle, or this letter, right, to Timothy during his final incarceration in Rome. Sometimes during the years of AD 64 to 67. So before Paul's martyrdom, he had final words to pass on to his son. And he apparently also wrote this epistle, right, to the Hebrews while awaiting death. Okay? So there's a lot of people out there, a lot of those scoffers out there that doesn't think that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Now, what is the purpose of 2 Timothy? Apparently, Timothy was dismayed and disheartened about the apostles' latest arrest. Paul encouraged him to stir up his spiritual gift to serve his church, his Lord, and Paul to the end. He warned him about the coming apostates in a division and destruction that they would cause in the Ephesian assembly. So Paul was now training Timothy, okay, his son in the faith, right? Because Paul was about to be executed, okay? And that he would take over the Ephesian church. And he's warning Timothy about these coming apostates that will come in to the church. He gave the great description of the sufficiencies of scriptures as the best remedy against error. The apostle instructed him about many practical and logistical details concerning his soon visit to the Mamertine prison. The apostle gave a series of 18 sinful characteristics, which we just read, that would be manifested in the last days in which Timothy found himself. Notice what I said. The last days were in those days, not just today. We're a little further along. Obviously, we're further along the way, all right? Within these last days, which begin with the coming of the king who offered his kingdom. So when Jesus came on the scene and offered his kingdom, that signal right there, here's the last days. We're in it. We're in it. And there's scripture references to that in Matthew 4:17, 11:14, and 1 John 2:18. Okay? So the coming king would offer his kingdom, and it would be during these perilous times or dangerous seasons of apostasy. Paul warned this apostasy will continue to increase until the Lord comes back. And isn't that true? Isn't that true? The only antidote, okay, or the only tangible antidote to apostasy is the inspired Word of God. The inspired Word of God. And as apographical texts and translations as well, as the apostle declared, as we turn over, well, stay there, but at verse 14, so, excuse me, 2 Timothy verse 13 through 17, okay, and we should see here where it says, but continue thou in the things which thou has, excuse me, I'm sorry. Just want to make sure I'm in the right verse here. I think I used the wrong reference there, but, Let me just make sure I'm in there. All right, so let me just bypass that. I don't want to give. But anyway, the verse is, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them, and that from a child, okay, thou hast known the holy scriptures, okay, maybe that's the first thing, and which are able to make these wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, right? And then verse 16, so it is first. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay? So, all of the canonical word of God is given by inspiration. And therefore, it's profitable as the only sufficient remedy, okay, for the words of to these apostates. So, what can God's people do in this present world that we live in today, in the midst of lawlessness and apostasy? Right away, we can learn from what Paul taught Timothy. It's nothing different. This is where it started. We're just at the end part of that. And, you know, if the Lord tarries, it will get worse and worse. So God has told us, okay, that don't be surprised. God's words, word of prophecy, God's word will prophesy the conditions of the world and professing Christianity. And this is exactly what we see in our day as well. So as we go back to our media text there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, where it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, and there will be these pockets of apostasy that will come along. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Do we see that today? Disobedient to parents. Lose my place here. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and then having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Folks, be careful of those who have a form of godliness that come in your presence. The Bible makes it very clear that they can have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. And it says, from such, turn away. This is what the Apostle Paul is training young Timothy as he takes on the Ephesian church. By way of application, as which is just read, one thing that we want to do, point number one, is this. We want to make sure that we are saved. The Bible warns that Christianity in the last days, and that was since their time up until now, that in the last days there will be powerless ones. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So it is imperative to make sure that you are scripturally born again and to be ready to meet the Savior, either by the rapture or if the Lord calls you home. The Bible says, as we turn over to Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, Paul is speaking to the six churches in Rome, and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So point number one, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're biblically and scripturally saved. Point number two, be ready for the shout. Now, I'm not talking about shouting in church and running around. I don't want to get that mixed up now. We're not talking about that type of shouting here. Be ready for the shout. All right? First Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 15 to 18. Paul is now writing to the church at Thessalonica, church members there, and he says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So point number two, be ready for the shout. It also says in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the whole armor of light." Philippians 4, 5. I got a few verses here, reference verses. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." James 5, 8, 9. "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Then you have 1 Peter 4, 7 and Revelation 22, 10. Point number three, focus on your heavenly citizenship. Focus on your heavenly citizenship. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4 says, and who's the author? Paul. And who's he writing to? The church of Colossae. And he's telling these believers or members there in that church, if ye be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, what? On the things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So keep your focus on the heavenly citizenship. Four, build New Testament churches. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul tells Timothy, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Paul is now instructing Timothy how to teach and preach to those Ephesian believers how they should behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Acts 2, 41 through 42. And we hear, this is when Peter preaches to the 3,000 souls, right, from the Jerusalem church. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 42, "Then they that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking in bread and in prayers." We see the life of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, where he plants all these different churches. 5, fulfill Christ's great commission. Matthew 28:18-20. We are familiar with the great commission, where the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." And we see how the Apostle Paul practiced that same format. Our next point is pray. Pray. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that ye may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable sight of God our Father, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, "Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto all perseverance and supplications for all the saints." Also, our last point, be law keepers and supporters of law enforcement. Be law keepers and supporters of law enforcers. Where do we see that? We see that in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. And it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the ordinances of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. But thou then not be afraid of the power, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for the conscience sakes, for this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom is honor. So, as we look at this lawlessness and apostasy that started in the first century, okay, we experience the same lawlessness and apostasy today in churches today in the 21st century. We can learn much from the Apostle Paul as he trained young Timothy in the faith, these things as he was to take over the Ephesian church. And we can make application just as they did in the first century, and that we can make the same application today here at Bible Baptist Church. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray, God, that this is what you laid on my heart to be able to give forth to these members here, our members here, at Bible Baptist Church. I pray that we'll be on guard for apostasy and lawlessness, just as Paul trained young Timothy, that we could also train our young men and the men here, our church, about the same apostasy that can also affect here at Bible Baptist Church. So we pray, God, that we will hold truth to your word. We ask you to bless the remaining of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.